Sure.
Really, the best thing that would have been in regard to the order of service tonight is if I could have given you the message before we prayed, but didn't work out that way. I just want folks to get here so I could preach the message. I realize that sometimes there's things that delay folks, but really, in regard to what I have to say and what the scripture says here, I think it would have been an encouragement to you and stirred you up a little bit about this thing of prayer. But notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, help us to really grab hold of this verse tonight, and God individually, how we need to be a people who pray, and dear God, corporately as a church, how we need to be a people who pray. Dear God, if you could just get a hold of the hearts that are in this prayer meeting and service tonight and really stir us, God, you could do something that would stir our entire church. And there's no telling what kind of miracles could happen if we, Lord, would get serious about this thing of prayer. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you come here to Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul has been speaking to us about these six pieces of armor that the Christian soldier is to wear, you understand this, we've said this before, that he had the Roman soldier in mind. However, there was one piece of equipment in regard to the Roman soldier that Paul did not mention as being part of the Christian's armor, and that is the greaves. That piece of equipment that protected the shins. Paul's looking at a Roman soldier. He's making application in regard to what the Roman soldier wears and applying it to the Christian, but he omits that piece of armor, the greaves, in regard to the Christian. And you can easily understand why. After we are to adorn ourselves with these six pieces, which make up the armor of God, then we are to be employed or engaged in the battle. You don't need greaves on your shins because your shins ought to be facing the ground as we go to the Lord in prayer. That's why after he mentions these six pieces of equipment, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so we are to engage the enemy upon our need, on our knees. And so for the lesson tonight, I want you to consider four truths that we can see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. The first thing that I want you to notice, just two words, but these two words tell us and speak to us about the time of our engagement. The time of our engagement. Two words right at the beginning of the verse. Paul says, praying always. Praying always. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, or what the Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse number 1. It says, and he spake a parable unto them in this wise, and he said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, and pray without ceasing. Now, to be praying always or to pray without ceasing, let me tell you what it does not mean, because I think there's some misconception about what it means. And first of all, let me speak to you about what it does not mean. It does not mean to always be in an attitude of prayer. Because let's just be honest, we're not always in an attitude of prayer, right? During the course of the day, as you're involved with what you have to do at home, what you have to do at work, and what you have to do in life, you're not always having this attitude of prayer. When I'm wanting to get someplace in a hurry, and you know, there's a red light and there's a long line of cars, and the light turns green, all right, and the person at the head of the line just doesn't move, I'm not in an attitude of prayer. You understand what I'm talking about? I got other things. I want to get somewhere. I got some things to do. All right, so when he says praying always or pray without ceasing doesn't mean to always be in an attitude of prayer. It does not mean to always be on praying ground. Maybe you heard that sometimes when someone says, you know, to always be on praying ground. But let me explain to you what it does mean to be praying always or to pray without ceasing. My illustration is found from the scriptures in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In the 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're reading about the nation of Israel after God had given to them their first king. Remember who their first king is? King Saul. And the prophet Samuel is addressing the nation here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And he tells them that they asked for a king and they've been given their king. And then he begins to tell them about their history and tell them how God, all right, had always been with them, and God had blessed them, and God had brought them to this very present place where they were. But let me pick up the story here in verse number 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel speaking, he says, "Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." Now listen, you understand this. This is not too hard to figure out. When you're in a time of harvest and you're involved in agriculture, you know what you don't want it to do? You don't want it to rain. And so Samuel says, "I'm going to pray to God and he's going to send what you don't want, thunder and rain. And by sending that thunder and rain, he's going to show you, the nation, how wicked you are." All right, and then let's read on, verse number 18. So Samuel called upon the Lord, or called unto the Lord. He prayed. And the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, look at now, they're making a request. "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Now look at verse 23. He says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." All right, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. You see, to not pray is a sin. And what Samuel's saying here is this: I'm never going to get to a place in my life where I am not praying for the nation of Israel. You can't be doing it every moment of the day. But you know what? He's always going to get back to it. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. You're not stopping. You're not quitting. Do you understand? It means to continue in prayer, always coming back to prayer. It means never to cease or to stop praying. Sometimes Christians stop praying. they cease praying because they begin praying about something. It's something they really desire. And they pray about it for a while, and maybe for whatever reason, God doesn't answer in that time frame that they've been praying about something, and they get discouraged, and what do? They stop. They cease. Let me give you a verse of scripture from Psalm 55. Psalm number 55. Psalm number 55 was written by King David. So these are the words of David. I know they're the words of the Holy Spirit, but David is speaking regarding himself here. Verse number 17, Psalm 55, verse number 17. Listen to what David said. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, just for your own understanding, notice the words. You know, these are not just, David's not just talking here without a particular understanding or reason. He didn't say, you know, when you and I talk, how do we talk? Morning, noon, and night. Right? That's how you and I talk. You know why? Because you're a Gentile, and you don't think like a Jew. Gentiles think morning, noon, night. That's not how a Jew thinks. A Jew thinks evening, morning, noon. Because remember how creation was? When God talks about creation in Genesis chapter 1, he says the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. See, God starts talking about evening first. So David says, you know what? Every night in the evening, every morning at some hour, and every day at noon, I'm going to pray. You see, he might have been involved. He's the king. Undoubtedly, if you're the king, you know what? There's all kinds of business that kings have to attend to, right? Okay, so he wasn't always praying necessarily, but you know, in the course of a day, when it got to that noon hour, he's back to prayer. And he might be involved in a whole lot of things in the afternoon, all right? But when the evening hour came, he's involved in prayer. When he got up at some time in the morning, he got involved in prayer. See, he never got away from it. He always went back to it. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in what? Ceasing to pray for you. Always going to get back to it. Now, if you're going to get back to it and you're going to pray and you're going to be effective, then you have to be right with God and get in an attitude of prayer and all that other stuff. But you're not necessarily always in this attitude of prayer throughout the course of a day. So you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus said, praying always. Paul said, pray without ceasing. That means you're always getting back to it. You're going to continue in it. You're not going to stop it. How many Christians don't pray? There's a lot of Christians that don't pray. All right, so first of all, there is what we see here, the time of our engagement, praying always. All right, then secondly, number two, there's the types of the engagement. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, praying always, we already saw that. And then he says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, first of all, he says, with all prayer. With all prayer and supplication. When we're talking about, first of all, prayers. Prayers. When you talk about types of prayer, you understand this. There's various types of prayer. First of all, there's corporate prayer. When I say corporate prayer, I talk about a church praying. All right? And then there's group prayer, where there just might be a group of people that are praying together. And you understand this, there's private prayer, when just you as an individual pray. Let me show you this. I can show it to you all in one book. Go to the book of Colossians, if you would please. Next book is Colossians, or two books, Philippians, Colossians. And look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. All right, look what Paul says in Colossians 4. Look at verse number 2. Isn't he speaking to the church at Colossae in this book? He most certainly is. And what does he say to this church at Colossae? He says, continue in prayer. That's what Paul said when he said praying always. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, when he says pray without ceasing. He says continue in prayer. Don't quit. Don't stop. So he's talking to the church. He says continue in prayer. Notice here's another word we're going to get to. He says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then verse number 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So there's church prayer. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Colossians 1 verse number 9, Paul says here, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right, not church prayer there. It's Paul and all those that were his traveling companions and co-laborers in the ministry. He said, you know what? We're praying for you, church at Colossae. Not another church, but just a group of Christians. So there's corporate prayer, there's group prayer, and then there's private prayer. Go back to Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse number 12. Colossians 4, verse number 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now look what he says about this one man. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. See, prayer is labor. You come home at night. How'd your day go? Oh, man, I'm tired. Had a hard day at work. Did a lot of what? Labor, whether it be office type of work, physical work, other types of, you know, labor that people do, but you're tired because you've been laboring. Well, you know what? You get involved in prayer. What's prayer? Labor. Laboring. Here's a man that was laboring. All right, let's look at the rest of the verse. He says in verse number 12, always laboring fervently in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So Epaphras, see, he was one of Paul's traveling companions, and he was praying for the church and for these particular saints at Colossae that they would become everything that they needed to become in the Lord. And so there's corporate prayer, and there's group prayer, and there's personal or private prayer, and you know, there's prayer that's involved in worship. When you worship, you pray. There's prayer, we already saw it in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. There's prayer with thanksgiving. There's prayer in praise. There's prayer in confession. You know, you confess your sins, you're praying. All right, but let's consider the context here. What are we talking about? A Christian soldier, right? What does a soldier do? He's involved in battle or conflict. We are to adorn ourselves with the armor of God, those six pieces that Paul makes reference to. And then he says, now we're to get in the battle. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I think when Paul here, if you're involved in a battle, it's a particular type of praying. It's a particular type of prayer. I think, you know, pretty much like what we do at our house is we get up and we start reading our Bibles and so forth and so on, and then we'll take Victoria and drop her off at school, and before she goes to school, my wife and I and her will gather around the table, we'll read some scripture, and then we'll pray. I'll pray, and then Victoria prays, and then my wife prays. But I got news for you. And you should have this type of prayer in your life. Okay? But basically, we're praying that as she goes to school, that God will keep her and God will help her in her classroom studies to learn the things that she needs to learn, that God would help her to be a light and a testimony for the Lord there and so forth. Bless her day. And those are prayers that need to be prayed. But we ain't battling. That ain't a battle. We're not laboring. We're going to get to another thing here in a minute. Supplication. Praying with all prayer and what? Supplication. Those prayers that I'm talking about right there in the morning, those prayers need to be prayed. Can I pick on teenagers for a minute? I've noticed teens, they'll pray. When they pray, they'll pray like this. And I'm not just saying, it's just a teenage mentality. But in the course of their prayers, it's the Lord. And Lord, help us all to have a good day. Yeah, help us all to have a good, help us all to have a good day. Nothing wrong with that. You know what? I pray that you do have a good day. But my point in regard to this is, okay, if you're involved in an engagement, in a battle, you ain't involved in let us all have a good day. You understand what I'm talking about? All right, so I believe that the type, when Paul says put on the armor of God, and then he says praying always with all prayer and supplication. All right, this engagement that we're involved in is intercessory prayer. Are you listening? Intercessory prayer. You know what intercessory prayer is? It's praying on behalf of others. Let me give you, there's so many illustrations in the Bible, but let me just give you one place for the sake of time. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Excuse me, Acts chapter 12. I'm sorry. I don't know why you said Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. It says, now about that time, verse number 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Ah, there it is, of the church unto God for him. All right, we talked about what? Corporate prayer. The church is praying. Now, I don't know what they were praying. I mean, you know what? Maybe they were praying and asking, God, don't let him die. God, release him from prison. That certainly could have been part of the prayer, but maybe they were praying, hey, Lord, don't let him deny you. You know, he had that problem one time in his life. So whatever they were praying, whether it was for his safety, his release, his just to be strong and not deny the Lord, they were praying without ceasing what? Corporately. They were praying, they were interceding to God on behalf of Simon Peter. Look at verse number 12. Remember, Peter gets miraculously released from prison, and verse 12 says, and we had considered this thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It's not the whole church. It's some people from the church, though. There's a group prayer. So you got corporate prayer, you got group prayer, but how are they praying? They're praying not for themselves. They're not asking to have a good day. They're praying for the Simon Peter, interceding on his behalf. And God heard their prayer and God answered their prayer. All right. So it says, praying always with all prayer. And it says, and supplication. Now, you understand this, or you should realize this. Supplication is praying to the Lord. But it's not just saying. It's not, again, it's not like I just said, you know, God help us to have a good day and watch over us and protect us. It's praying to the Lord with great desire, with great earnestness. Oh, God, you have to do this. You understand what I'm saying? Go in your Bible, if you would, please, to James chapter 5. Here's an illustration, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And notice what it says. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Remember, you read about this in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah goes before wicked King Ahab. He says, there'll not be dew nor rain, but according to what? My word. He didn't say God's word. He said, my word. I'm stopping it from raining. I guarantee you, it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and every day, more than once a day, Elijah was saying, oh God, don't let it rain. He was supplicating. You see what I'm talking about? One of our missionaries that our church supports, the Bauman family in Puerto Rico, they have a little daughter. She touched a hot stove and severely burnt her hand. Had to have some surgery on it. Okay, I got the text. I prayed. You understand? I prayed about it. I guarantee you, I prayed. Her daddy, Ed Bauman, was supplicating. You understand the difference? Yeah. But it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, let me just say a few words about that. When it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that means the Spirit of God is leading us in our praying, guiding us in our praying, helping us to be heard by the Father in our praying. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Jude, verse number 20, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that is, first of all, the time of our engagement, and then the type or the types there in our engagement, and then thirdly, the toil in our engagement. We already kind of talked about that. We saw where prayer is to be labor. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse number 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Two words before we finish up here with the last thing. All right, two words. One word is watching. Watching. You see that word watch in regard to the word or in regard to prayer in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples the night before he was crucified? And there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and verse number 38, he takes Peter, James, and John, and he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch with me. You know what that word watch means? It means to keep guard, to be vigilant. In other words, you know what? The devil is very near. The devil is here. You better be on the lookout and you better be praying. You understand what? And remember, he goes and he prays, and he comes back and his disciples are sleeping, and he says, Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse number 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what? Peter wasn't watching. He wasn't diligent. He wasn't on guard. Yeah, I know he falls asleep, but a little bit later down the line when he's warming his hands by the fire, and three times someone comes along and says, you're one of his disciples. Ultimately, what does he do? He denies the Lord and curses, and he denies the Lord because he didn't watch and pray. I'm just talking about saying your prayers. You know, you talk about religious people. How dumb are religious people? They're pretty dumb. They think that because they go to a church house and they recite prayers and they mean nothing other than the reciting words, that somehow makes an impression on God. It doesn't. But you know what? We don't recite prayers, but we can get pretty dumb in our praying too. You know, we think that just because, oh, God bless us today and keep our family and God, you know. When we find out that, you know what, if you're going to be a soldier, I'm on the battlefield right here for my Lord. This thing that we're talking about is a fight, a battle. When we're talking about prayer. He says in Ephesians 6:18, watching thereunto, and he says, with all perseverance. Again, perseverance is like what we've already kind of made reference to. It means continuing, persistent, not quitting. I already gave you that verse in Luke 18:1 where Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he tells that story about that widowed woman, right, who goes before the judge, and she has a request, and the judge is not giving her any heed. He's not regarding her. And then finally, in Luke 18, in verse number 5, the judge says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He said, you know what? I'm tired of this woman coming around every day. Going to answer a prayer or her request, which is, that's a prayer. And then remember what the Lord Jesus Christ, when he told that story about the importunate friend, about the man who had a visitor come to his house and needed some bread. So he goes to his neighbor, he knocks on the door, and the man says, I'm in bed right now. My kids are in bed. He says, I'm not going to give you anything. And the Bible says in Luke 11, in verse number 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, the guy's not going away. Importunity means he's going to just keep on asking. I'm going to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask until I get what I want. And sometimes God deals with us that way. Let me give you the last thing. I won't be long. The topic of our engagement. The topic of our engagement. What's the topic of our engagement? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Here's the topic. For all saints. Not me. There's a time that I need to pray about me. There's a time you need to pray about you. But right here in this battle, it's praying for somebody else. You see? For all saints. Why? Why do we need to pray for all saints? Because of the battle that we're engaged in. It's a battle. We're engaged in battle. See, not only because of the battle we're engaged in, because of the attack of the enemy. Devil. The devil, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I got just like this. See, we got those names of the guys in our church or some folks we know, men that we know that are in the military. Okay. When Billy Morgera was in the military, overseas. I prayed, you prayed, but you weren't praying like the Margeras were praying. Because you know what? That was their son in a life and death situation. See, that's what we're talking about, life and death situations. The ruination of a life. And you know what happens sometimes when there's a ruination of a life? A whole family goes down the tubes. Children, grandchildren, succeeding generations. Because of the attack of the enemy. Because of the need for believers to do what's commanded us. All right, I'll give you a verse, we're done. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. He says in verse 18, this is our employment, right? This is our engagement, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then look what he says in verse number 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, it's not, it's life and death, it's eternal life and death.
Amen.
You see? We need to be praying for the saints in church. There's some people in this church that need to get right with God. And they're not going to get right unless the saints pray. There's souls that need to get saved. They're not going to get saved without the prayers of the saints. God wants to do something in these last days. It's not going to happen. I'll close with this. I can go on. If I said the name to you, David Green, you don't know who he is. Anyone know who David Green is? He's the CEO of the business Hobby Lobby. You know Hobby Lobby. They sell what in? Yeah, hobby stuff. David Green's a Christian man. He was talking to President Trump. You know what he told President Trump? He said, America will never be great without God and God's word. Not only will it not be great without God and God's word, it ain't never going to be great unless Christians get busy in regard to this thing of prayer. Praying for our leaders, praying for our country, praying that God would withhold the tide of evil that wants to sweep across and is starting to sweep across this nation. That's why I tell you folks, you know what? You want to know what the hope is? You're the hope. Not Congress. You are. We are, if we get busy about prayer. Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, I know that people probably have a better understanding of what verse number 18 in Ephesians 6 says. But dear God, I pray that we'd make it a reality of living in our life, that we would be people who pray and get answers to prayer. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right.